Well, one of the greatest things we need as believers in the Lord Jesus is the enjoyment of fellowship with that blessed one of whom we have just heard, who desires to walk with us day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. And may I emphasize one fact. Someday, we who are believers in the Lord Jesus, not the unbelievers, but all who have been saved by His grace, will be walking with Him in the heavenly courts above, and throughout all eternity, enjoying the ministry of our beloved and blessed Lord. We also sang this morning, and I know this quite often you sing it, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way." Beloved, I wish you'd turn with me to the Word of God. And may the Lord teach us from that precious portion we shall cover. For I feel led to go, if you will turn with me, to the first epistle of Corinthians. The first epistle of Corinthians, chapter 2. I'd like to begin reading near the end of the chapter. For we can only turn to the Word of God to know what He would have us to be, to know what He would have us to do. When we sing such words, "Teach me thy way, O Lord." I would like to begin reading at chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians at verse 14. I'm going to go down into chapter 3 through verse 4, I believe. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, writing, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, or discerneth all things. Yet he himself is judged or discerned of no man. For who hath known the mind of Christ, or the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, and strife, and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another saith, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" We stop the reading of the Word of God at this particular point, but we will re-emphasize some particular names that we have read in the portion before us. If you will please note in chapter 2 and verse 14, we're introduced to a person that is called the natural man. Then, when you go to verse 15, we're introduced to another kind of a person called the spiritual man. Then when you go in chapter 3, as we have read in verse 1 particularly and on, we're introduced to a third person called the carnal man. May I emphasize to you, my beloved believers as well as unbelievers, this is one section in the Word of God that is so unusual, for it divides the human race into three categories of classification. Generally speaking, I'm sure every believer realizes it, and maybe unbelievers may realize it. When preaching from the Word of God, the human race can be classified into two divisions. Either we are saved, or we are not saved. And how true that is. We cannot be both. But in these scriptures that we have read, we find God by the Holy Spirit classifying the human race into three divisions. A most unusual fact. He speaks of a natural man. He speaks of a carnal man. And he speaks also of a spiritual man. May I pause for a moment and ask myself, and may you ask yourself the question, which one am I? You cannot be the whole three. You're either a natural person who has never been saved, or you're either one of the other two, classifying, though Christians, if you please. For the second division that we have read, they apply not to the unsaved, but to the saved, the believers in the Lord Jesus. There are those that Paul calls spiritual, and there are those believers. And he names them in the city of Corinth here, to whom he writes in the church there. He says, I couldn't call you spiritual. I have to call you carnal, meaning you live according to the flesh and not according to the spirit. But meditate briefly with me on the three men. First of all, let's get rid of the natural man in the meaning of it. In verse 14, but the natural man, now that means an unsaved man. It means a man who still has his human nature. But if you remember the words of Nicodemus of the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 3, marvel not that I say unto you that ye must be born again. The natural man needs a new birth. He hasn't received the second birth. He's still, by nature, unsaved, a natural person. But please note, what characterizes him? He doesn't receive the thing of the Spirit of God. The things of God. As we were singing, teach me thy word, O Lord. Teach me thy word. The natural man is not interested in them. In fact, as you go on, they are foolishness unto him. And you find that in the preceding chapter. How God considers the fact. The natural man doesn't want to know the things of God. And he considers it foolishness. And even you will find that preceding this section, Paul says, they even think the preaching of the cross is foolishness. I don't need it. And then if you read on in that same verse, neither can he know the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. Now the natural man may be rich, he may be poor, he may be educated, he may be uneducated, he may not be sophisticated, whatever he may be, he may be good or he may be bad or moral or immoral. But listen, if he's never been born again, unsaved, he cannot understand the things of God. I remember many, many years ago reading of an incident. Two businessmen were traveling on the train from New Jersey across the state to go to the city of New York to their business. They got in conversation. One of them was a believer. And he began to witness to his partner that was sitting next to him. And as he talked of the Bible to him, the man said, I don't understand the Bible. The beloved Christian brother said, I know you don't, you can't. And the Bible says you cannot understand it. And you will not understand it until you're born again and saved. And there's the natural man. I hope you're not there. For the greatest thing for you to do is to be born again and find in the precious Lord Jesus and through the death of his cross your salvation in his precious, eternal, valued blood. Oh, the joy of knowing the Savior is your own and passing from death unto life. My beloved, let me say this. The natural man will never go to heaven. And neither will any other person go to heaven until they have been born again. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And my beloved, let me repeat it again. You have to be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus. And may I re-emphasize Ephesians 2:89. For we are saved by grace, through faith, that none of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My beloved, let me please give a little word of warning. There are many who are preaching today a salvation that is not by grace, but by works. We can only be saved by becoming in confession to God, a guilty sinner, needing the precious redemption of our Lord Jesus at Calvary. But now let's consider the other person to which we have referred. We go down into chapter 3, first of all. Now let me repeat again. The spiritual man is a believer. And the carnal one is a believer. Look, please note in verse 1 and chapter 3, Paul addresses the saints here at Corinth, writing to the church there. You're my brethren. You're my fellow believers. And if you have ever been saved, you're my fellow believer. And a believer, a fellow believer of all believers and Christians, wherever they are. God is only one family, and they are all the children of God through faith which is in Christ Jesus. But I want you to notice why the dear Apostle Paul writes as he does in this first verse to the Corinthians. But please let me remind you, please, if the dear Apostle Paul had to write a letter to the church at Florence Gospel Chapel, to the believers at Florence Gospel Chapel, would he have to write these words? Note them in verse 1. I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Would he accuse you and me of being a carnal Christian and not a spiritual one? Is there a, yes, there is a difference. We shall see it. God willing. But here the Apostle Paul is saying, and writing, I can write to you as spiritual believers. I know why he says it, but as unto carnal, the word means fleshly. Meaning, you find that corner. To God be the glory. Why did you sing it? I could not help but think of the words of 1 Corinthians 10. I think it's verse 32. Whether ye eat, or whether ye drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all, what for? The glory of God. But here were Christians in Corinth, failing to do it. Said, I have to write unto you even as unto babes, meaning you've all, you're living as though you've only just been saved. And may I remind you, I don't know how long, my fellow believer, I speak kindly to you. I don't know how long you have been saved. I know my spiritual birthday goes way back when most of you here were not even living in 1914. I hope I'm not a babe at the present time in Christ. You may remember the words of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2. right into newborn days, those that have just been born again. And what did he write? As newborn babes, desire what? The sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Now look, you're trying to hear, I heard you sing it. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Do you want him to do it? Where do you get it from? The word of God. And here the beloved Corinthians, to whom Paul writes, have not been growing. They've been neglecting the word in their hearts and in their lives and in their testimony that had been, that was made evident. And here the apostle goes on to say, as you look in verse 2, I have fed you with milk and I couldn't give you meat. And my beloved, you know very well that when a newborn baby comes into the world, you can't give it a beefsteak nor even a hamburger. It has to be fed milk. It could never digest the heavy food. Now, beloved, please let me say, there's milk in this book and there's also heavy meat. What do you feed on? How much of it, how much of it do you take in? Can you only stand milk? Or can you have a, enjoy a good beef, eh? Meaning, the strong need of the word of God. You read in Hebrews chapter 5, the accusation the apostle Paul gave to the Hebrew Christian in the early church. He said, you should have been grown up by this time, teaching the word. And he said, you have to be taught. My beloved fellow believer, let me say, look, you're trying to hear my word, you're saying it. Teach me thy word. Has he been teaching you? For the carnal believer is one who neglects the word of God. So now go back in chapter 2. Look at the third one we want to speak of. In verse 15. But he that is diligent. Why is this one characterized as being diligent? Please let me emphasize again, I didn't divide the word of God this way. The Spirit of God did it. God did it himself. Classifying the whole human race in these three ways. Natural, carnal, spiritual. I raise the question to your heart and to mine own. Can I call myself a spiritual believer? Note the statement that Paul makes here about the spiritual man. He that is spiritual, the word is judgment. It does not mean that he passes judgment, but what it really means and the meaning of it, he discerns, he understands all of the things, all things. Well, wait a minute. What do the all things mean? Now, beloved, look. They mean everything in this book. Not outside the book. When you sang to him, teach me thy way, O Lord, how does he do it? Through the word. Thy word am I hid in mine heart, wrote the psalmist. Open thy word, prayed the psalmist. Open mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy book. And the apostle is referred not to all things in life, but to, if you may know, please, note in the, as we go, the verse, back to verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now please, my beloved believer, let me say, when you were born again, you received the Holy Spirit. Why did you receive him? For what purpose? Did not the Lord Jesus tell us? When he is come, he will teach you. All things. Let me ask you a question. Has he been teaching you? Have you been turning to the book? from which and through which and by which you become a spiritual Christian? May I say it reverently, as well as personally, I cannot be a spiritual Christian apart from knowing the things of God from this precious word. May I give you the thought? The spiritual man, he goes to school every day. Where? To the University of the Bible. You may attend Francis Marion University. You can go there all your life. If you don't learn the Bible that way. But you have a good teacher. And the teacher is the Holy Spirit. Go back in chapter 2 with me, please. I want you to go back with me to verse 9. Now let me read through verse 10. Here I want you to recognize the university that you do attend. It's a spiritual university. It's not a secular college. It's not a secular school. It's no humanitarian place. It's a divine university. Listen to the words in verse 9 particularly, and note Paul writing this saying. And if you read the preceding part of the chapter, you would find Paul said it's the wise men and the princes and the great men of the world had only known who Christ was. That he was the wisdom of God. They would never would have crucified. Look, you and I who are Christians, we don't need human wisdom, earthly wisdom. We need heavenly wisdom, divine wisdom. And Paul writes it, we seek the wisdom of God. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you to myself. How wise is God? Are you as wise as him? Never. Do you want to know how wise he is? He is. Better get acquainted with him. As our brother sang that lovely hymn, I walk in the garden alone. I walk and I talk with him. And he talks with me. He tells me I am his own. It means you personally, now let me emphasize it. Not where we are now, corporately, all pleasing, but personally, in my own life, my daily life. My daily life. He talks. How? Through his word. You remember way back in the Old Testament in the days of little Samuel? As God spoke to him in that temple, or that tabernacle where he was, with old Eli, the high priest, the little lad only about 5 years of age. And the Lord began to speak. He didn't realize who he was talking to him. Until Eli told him. And Eli recognized from what the little boy said. God was speaking to him. He said, when he says it again, you tell him, speak, Lord. For thy servant was. Now know, please know what we have to hear. Let me read verse 9. As it is written, and it's a quotation from the Old Testament, from one of the great prophets, emphasizing, even in the Old Testament, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. My fellow believer, you love him, don't you? One of the great truths, as you may read in 1st Epistle of John, that we belong to God, we love him because he first loved us. But let me ask you the question. Am I asked the question? Do I know how much he loves me? Never. We used to sing a little chorus. I always loved it when I heard it. He loves me, He loves me. Oh, the wonder of such a thought that He loves me. He loves me, He loves me. I never can love Him as I ought, but He loves me. Beloved, let me say this before we go further. It's an exposition on our particular portion. There's nothing in the world that can equal what God has for the believer to enjoy. Please note the words that we have just read. Note. The eye can't see it. The human ear has never been able to hear it. Neither is it entered into the heart of man. Humanly speaking, all the knowledge and science of the eye, the ear, and the human heart and mind. That's not what the child of God should be enjoying and going after. But what we read here, the things which God has prepared for who? Them that love Him. See, now let me emphasize this. Your spiritual education is more important than your physical, as well as your mental education. If you're a believer. Does your spiritual education and mind come first? Or the secular education of this world? Look, business! Education! Science! Name it! Finances! Money! Riches! Name everything that the world has! That's not what God has for His children. Look, if I know my Bible, when God saved me, He saved me so that He could take me out of this world. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us out of this present evil world. But please, let me ask you one question before I go further. How do you like the present condition of the world? Morally, spiritually. We have much danger surrounding us. But not the things of God. They are not dangerous. But I want you to know them. Let me re-emphasize it before we go further to verse 10. The human eye and what the dear, what God is saying, both from the Old and New Testament quotation of these words. Human eye has never been, can never know and reveal the things of God by nation. The human ear. And may I say something? You've got the human ear listening to people on the moon today. Or up there anyway in the space. And you hear their voices. Oh, wait a minute. You don't hear the voice of God that way. But when you read the word of God, your objective is the person of God Himself, and your ear can listen to His voice. And then the human heart. I want to tell you, the human heart of man has connived and developed many, many things. Some of them good. I think most of them bad. For the way they've been turning out. But all the things of the Word of God. And let me repeat again. They're all in the Word of God. It's the University of the Bible. Let me remind you how many classrooms you have to go in. You've got more than you go in when you go to secular school. You've got 66 classrooms. How often have you been to... Have you attended all the classrooms? Have you studied from Genesis and gone on all the way till you got to the 66th one in the book of the Revelation? No. Please let me repeat again. This is God's school. Are you getting along? Yes, I know you have to work. Who doesn't? Oh, you don't eat? And God knows that. In fact, he promises he'll take care of you. As the Lord Jesus, when he was here, said, your heavenly Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. So as far as your temporal and physical needs, the mercy and goodness of God supplies that even to the unsaved. Every man, woman, boy, and girl have the breath of God holding them together. In whatever way they live in this life, God is holding their life together and watching and recording their daily portion. But oh, the joy of knowing here are riches untold. But I want you to notice something in the next verse. Though the human mind and heart and eye can never reveal it by nature. Read verse 9. But as it is written, but God hath revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the depths and the deep things of God. Oh, beloved, let me say this. The things of God are very deep. They're not shallow. Have I to confess I'm a shallow Christian? Or by God's grace, with a teacher like the Holy Spirit? Please let me read on. Please note, if you will, as I read on. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. I never will forget the testimony I once read in a Christian magazine, edited by Donald Barnhouse of Philadelphia many years ago when he was living. And he wrote concerning a young school teacher who every summer, to improve their education ability and teaching ability, went back to the university she attended to get a refreshing course. One winter, she found the Lord Jesus as a Savior. And the next summer, when she went back to the university she attended to get another refreshing course for her teaching at the school she taught, she began to talk to the professors and to the teachers about the Lord. Until one old professor got her to one side. He said, listen, my dear, what's happened to you since we saw you last summer? You never talked the way you talk to us now. What's happened? Who's been your teacher, he said. He couldn't understand that she began to talk about the things of God. And she looked at him with a smile. She says, I've got a teacher with a capital T. Listen, believer. The Lord Jesus said, when the Spirit is come, he will teach you all things. Now please note, verse 12, if I may read on. Now we have received, believer, when you were saved, you received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. What for? That we might know the things that are freely given to us. Look, how much do you have to pay for your secular education? If I listen carefully and read aright, the cost of human education is increasing greatly. Financially. But here's the teaching of the Bible, you can get it free. No money. But you have a divine peace. The Holy Spirit. Let me read that 12th verse again. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. Oh, don't tell me you don't know your Bible. If you don't know, you're a believer, it's your own fault. You've been neglecting the teacher. And you've been neglecting the university to attend his classes. To know the things that are freely given to us of God. And know verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom. Please let me say it again reverently, carefully, truthfully. Don't depend on man's wisdom to teach. Not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teaching, communicating spiritual things with them. Where do you find them all? In the precious Word. The Word is God. And as we have emphasized, please let me emphasize before we close. There are three categories. Which one do you belong in? First of all, let me give a word of encouragement again. If you have to confess, oh, I've never been saved. I'm a natural person. I've never had another birth. Please let me remind you again of Nicodemus in John 3. When he came to the Lord Jesus and heard the Lord Jesus tell him, after even complimenting him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. The one Nicodemus didn't know. He was more than a teacher. He was God himself that had come to teach. Now let me reemphasize. You and I have a divine teacher. Every believer. Brother and sister, young or old, again, let me remind you of the words of dear Peter, as he speaks of newborn babes, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow there. And even at the end of Peter's second epistle, he once again speaks of growing, when he declares, but grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How are you growing? Look at these words again. Let me please bring them before you. As you have it in verse 14, the natural man cannot understand them, neither could Nicodemus. Though I do believe, from the record of the life of Nicodemus in John 10, John's Gospel, please remember, when all the disciples forsook Nicodemus, together with Joseph and Arimathea, took care of his precious body. He saw the light. It came to be daylight in his soul. And if you're not saved, please, the first thing to do is get saved. Oh, the joy of knowing the moment you're saved, then you have the blessed privilege of growing. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1 of a new nature. And you do have a new nature. You've got two natures. Please let me remind you, the old one never will improve. It doesn't improve, not even with age. If you don't believe it, ask me, I'll tell you. How about the new nature? Please let me say, you'll never develop into perfection as long as you're here, not until the Lord comes. And then he will perfect, he will complete that which concerns you. He that hath begun a good work in you will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. But let me add one thought. When you get to heaven, are you going to be spiritual or are you going to be calm? You never will be calm. You won't have the opportunity. Just look. Remember the words of Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This corruptible in the grave must put on incorruption. This mortal that is living must put on immortality. As the change comes. Look, let me say again. Your opportunity to be spiritual upon the earth and having a spiritual testimony will end when your breath ends and leaves you. But in eternity, you won't have any flesh. You'll have a new body. A spiritual body. I thank God for those words that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15. It's raised a spiritual body. Right down here, you've got a natural body. And it limits fruit. But please may I remind you again. That old body of the flesh can keep you from being spiritual. Cater to your flesh. Cater to your wants. What you want, not what the Lord wants. No. Again, may I challenge you as you were singing. Do you want God to teach you His name? Beloved, you gotta go to school. No, you don't have to go to Francis Marion. You can get some other form of education there. But you'll have to get your spiritual education from this book. The Bible. Let me quote the words of 1 Timothy 3:16. For all scripture, meaning every scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for conviction, and for correction, and for instruction in right living, that a man of God may be perfect or complete, truly furnished unto all good works. Listen. I challenge you. You brought me to do it. I didn't plan speaking on this. But I heard the song you sang, as you often do. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Now, let me give it very frankly. First of all, if you're not saved, the first thing you need to do is come to the Lord Jesus and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, and save me. I believe you died to save my soul. Then, follow the word of God. Listen to His voice in this precious word. And you and I who are saved and have been saved, let's challenge our hearts. Are I a carnal believer? Or can I classify myself as God would have me, a spiritual one? My beloved, please. You don't have to apologize for your spirituality. But you do have to apologize for your unspiritual condition. And God will forgive that. If you and I come back to the Lord, and sing from the heart what we did before, Lord, teach me thy ways, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path, as the psalmist once wrote, because of the enemy. I say again, let me close by repeating again, these three characteristic individuals dividing the whole human race today,